is a 7-year time span of events that will take place on earth shortly after the coming of Christ. I know that's a lot, so I'll repeat it. The Great Tribulation period is a 7-year time span of events that will take place on earth shortly after the coming of Christ. Now, different people believe different things, and there are several points of view on this time period. Some people think that what I'm going to teach you tonight is symbolic. They think that it's all, the things that have been written in the book of Revelation are just symbolic, and they're just examples of what's to come. Some think that they will take place after the thousand year reign of Christ. But I believe, and I'm going to teach you, that these events will take place shortly after the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the tribulation period consists of 6 key events. And they are the opening of the 7 seals, the blowing of the 7 trumpets, the rise of the Antichrist, the 7 vials of wrath, the battle of Armageddon, and the final day of judgment, also known as the Great White Throne Judgment. And so we find all of these events recorded in the book of Revelation. And so in order to for us to understand this, I know this is a lot to write, so it would behoove you to probably get the tape, because I'm going to be sharing a lot of things as we start teaching, and you can take notes as you can. So in order to understand these events, we need to go into the book of Revelation. Amen? So if you'll go with me to Revelation chapter number 1, I want to read verse 1 through 3 and a few other verses. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. You can remain seated. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, underline that, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Verse number 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. Verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom, and in patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Verse 13, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, like one unto the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a lion girder. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. They actually did. If you remember the fiery furnace where the Bible talks about there was one walking around in the furnace, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who this is. And his voice as the sound of many waters, and he hath in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so when we look at the book of Revelation, ladies and gentlemen, we find that this book was written by St. John the Apostle. This is the same St. John that was one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what had happened in John's life was that he was sentenced to prison, if you will, in a place called the Isle of Patmos. And the reason he was sentenced to prison was because, as I've shared with you in many times past, during the Bible times, Christianity was not the accepted religion. In other words, it was against the law to teach Jesus, preach Jesus. Anything that had to do with Jesus was against the law and against the legislature of the town. And so if you were found doing anything that had to do with any other religion other than what was the accepted religion, then you could go to jail. And so it was with John. He was sentenced on the island, and the Bible teaches us that during this time he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he got the revelation of what's called the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that revelation gave us the revelation of the doctrine of last things, or the things to come. Am I doing all right? And so he sent this message out to the seven churches that are in Asia. You find that in chapters 2 and 3. God gave him specific insight to the churches that were in Asia, and he wrote all these things down. And in those days, they didn't have email, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have voicemail. So every time that they had a message, they had to write it out, and messengers would take the message back to these different locations in the earth. And so we find that John got prophetic insight as what is known as the things to come. And that's why I believe, and I'm teaching you, that these things will take place after the rapture, after the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I doing all right? Amen. Everybody tracking. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's go to Revelation chapter number 6. And we're going to share some things concerning the Great Tribulation. Now, I cannot, for the sake of time, give you all of the events, but I'm going to do my best to cover as much as I can. All right? Now, when we get to this particular portion of Scripture, the saints of God have been raptured off the earth and have stood before Christ in his judgment. And during this time, the Bible talks about how once we stand before God and we're given the awards, we will do what's called reigning with Christ. And so the saints of God that have lived according to the Scriptures will be reigning with Christ, but there will still be catastrophic events that are taking place on earth. Last week, Brother LaVar and Brother Baby and I were talking after the teaching, and we talked about after the rapture of the church, how the world is going to be so chaotic. I think LaVar said there's a minimum of 5,000 planes that are flying in the air at one time. And some of those pilots are Holy Ghost filled. Some of those pilots love the Lord. And so when Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to throw a lot of things off. There are going to be plane crashes. Some people are going to be driving down Interstate 64. And people are just going to be raptured out of their cars. And their cars are still going to be going. And there are going to be accidents. And so the world will be in a chaotic state. And this is just my personal insight. This is not found in Scripture. But what I feel the Lord has shared with me, at that particular time, the world will begin to change. And by that, people that remain in the world will begin to start seeking out spirituality. And instead of a lot of, you know, now how we just have this anything goes society. We got transvestites. We got people that just cuss at the drop of a dime. We've got all these wild and crazy songs and clubs and all these things that the world goes to. But in those days, I believe that they're going to start seeking out spirituality. And so things will begin to change. But it's going to be too late, because inevitably you should have given your heart to the Lord before Jesus came back. And so when we look at this particular time, God will begin to pour out his judgment upon all those that sinned and were living evil and wicked and living as though there was no God. And so the opening of the wrath of God or the judgment of God begins with the seven seals. Am I doing all right? Everybody following me? All right, so we see in verse number 6, it says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as if it were a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he sat that sat upon him had a bow, and his crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and that there was given unto him a great sword. So the second seal, when that is broken open, the Bible talks about in verse number 5 how nobody was worthy to open this book that contains the seals but the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that was slain. When he opens that book, it will begin to open up the judgments of God. And the second seal, the first one they talk about, is that peace will be taken away from the earth. And so people will begin to kill each other. The Bible talks about that. And also, right now, because the power of the Holy Spirit is on earth, there's a level of peace. And people don't realize it, how peaceful this earth really is. Even though we have wars and rumors of wars, it could be a lot worse if the power of the Holy Spirit was not here. But that's the first thing that will happen. Peace will be taken off the earth, and people will begin to kill one another. The third seal that is found in verse 5, and I heard the beast say, come and see, and as I beheld a black horse, and he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And so the third seal will affect the economy. And so the cost of living will change. And the things that we normally were able to buy and sell will begin to change. This will be effective because people that have been taken off the earth that helped this nation run smoothly will no longer be here. And so it will cause the economy and things as we are to change. Just like right now, how the hurricane has affected the gas prices. All y'all that got gas before you came or got to get gas when you leave, like myself, know the gas is up to about $3 and some change now. Why? Because of this great catastrophe that happened down in Louisiana. So it's the same thing, only a greater measure that will happen once the judgment of God begins to fall. The fourth seal in verse 7 talks about the ability to get food. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a horse, and his name that sat on it was death and hell, and followed him. And power was given them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And so some of the things that will happen is that people will obviously begin to go hungry, which will lead to death, and it will begin, the world will get so chaotic that it will lead to the provoking of wild animals. And I believe, again, this is just my personal insight, personal revelation, that as people begin to seek out safety and seek out refuge, they will run to areas of wilderness, into woods and into forests and into mountainous places, but will be killed by wild beasts because either they're trying to eat them or the beasts are trying to eat themselves. Verse number 12, we see the sixth seal. And behold, when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became of blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. This is literal. And the kings of the earth, and great men, and rich men, and their chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. And so the sixth seal will affect the atmosphere. And so we see that there'll be great earthquakes. There will probably register as one of the greatest in history. Now, we've had some earthquakes that have taken place over the past couple of years. Some have registered 4.6, 6, and some on the Richter scale. But because, again, the peace of God is in the earth, there's only so much that natural disasters can do. But this particular earthquake, I believe, is going to shake the earth. And then as we look at that, we'll see the sun, the moon, and the stars affected. The Bible talks about how it will become black, similar to a lunar eclipse. Y'all have seen that before, am I right? How we've had phenomena where we have lunar eclipse and the sun goes black for a period of time. The sun's passing in front of the moon. Well, these things will begin to happen, only they'll be longer and they'll be with much greater tragedy. Then verse 14 through 16, we see how this affects the men of the earth, namely those in authority that did not believe, kings and great men and rich men and chief captains, every man and every bondman and every freeman. We see how they were affected by this. You see, when the judge of God begins to fall, beloved, you know, your titles and your money in the bank and all that don't matter no more. You know, people talk a good game now, but when God starts shaking his hand and this world starts moving according to his plan, these great and mighty men ain't going to have a whole lot to say. These men that have won battles, I believe there'll be generals that have won battles that they will look to, and presidents and people in high authority that they will look to for answers, and they won't have them. Because they did not believe and they did not know that the things that are happening are concerning the will of God, concerning the great tribulation period. Let's look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Excuse me. It says, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And if you read on, it gives you, it was 1,200 of each tribe. Now, listen to me very carefully. There will be 144,000 people that will be preserved from the destruction of these events that will actually survive the period of God's wrath and judgment. Remember, this is it's supposed to be a seven-year time period. And so during this 7 years, I believe that the earth, one thing about America and one thing about the nations is we've always been able to recover from catastrophes. We had a major hurricane 2 years ago and we recovered in a matter of weeks. And so the world has that natural recovery instinct. But as they recover, I believe these catastrophes will keep hitting and keep hitting. But nevertheless, we have been taught that there will only be 144,000 people going to heaven. How many of y'all heard that? That kind of teaching. It's familiar in the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm not scared to say it because it's a principle and it's truth. But the Bible does not teach us that. The Bible teaches us, if we look at verse number 9 in this scripture, that there will be a great multitude in heaven of which no man can number. You know, there's well over 6 billion people on the planet. And for only 144 to go to heaven, that's a small amount of people. You know, $6 billion to $6 is, that's real small. You know, and that same comparison to 144,000 to a great multitude which no man could number. So don't let anybody teach you that, you know, only a 444 are going to heaven, because that's not according to the scripture. These 144 will be marked by a seal, and I believe that these people have been sealed so that they can strategically spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you still will be able to get saved, and you'll still be able to come into the kingdom. It'll just be twice as hard. Am I doing all right? Amen. Y'all getting anything out of this tonight? All right. Now, the final phase of the tribulation that we will examine is the blowing of the seven trumpets. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter 8 and what happens, church, in the blowing of the seven trumpets is inevitably a third part of the earth is going to be destroyed. And we see that here. Verse number 7. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. And so we see first that happens is when the angel blows the trumpet, we'll find that part of the natural foliage that keeps the earth the way it is, the I can't think of that word, the photosynthesis, Photosynthesis. Yeah, that. You know, that natural ability for the earth to reproduce itself will go away. See, a lot of these things we take for granted. A lot of these things they teach us in school, they teach our children in school, that this is all just scientific mysteries, but these are the workings of God. We see the second angel sounded, as if it were a great mountain bringing with fire and were cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And so we see that the third trumpet will release an angel to destroy a third part of the sea, a third part of the ships, food, commerce, and defense. A lot of our food that we get from the sea, you know, all those great crab legs, and I know none of y'all eat anything like that, and those great flounders and all that, oysters and all that stuff, catfish, trout, all that good stuff you like when you go to the seafood buffet, that's going to be destroyed because we take these things for granted. And so with that, we see a third part of the ship. Some of y'all are really going to get saved tonight, ain't you? Hallelujah. They pass, I can't go without seafood. I'm getting saved. Hallelujah. All right. And so we see that the food and the commerce, ships represent commerce. We have ships all across the ocean that take our commerce across the nations, and those will be destroyed. Then we have ships that help keep our defense intact, and those will be destroyed. Verse number 10 says, and the third angel sounded, and look at this, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as if it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of the waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now wormwood is a plant that it's a poisonous plant. And if you take of this plant, it causes mental deterioration and death. And so the Bible, now this is just my own personal insight again, says that a star will fall from heaven and it will affect a third part of the waters. Now, this is just my personal insight, not found in Scripture, but there may be life forms out there that we don't know about, because man is limited in how much information he can gather, and there's only so much mystery that God allows man to tap into. Because inevitably, the Bible teaches us he hung the stars, he hung the moon, he hung the whole universe, but we only have limited resources that we can find. So there may be some plants up there on some of these stars that we don't know about. But the Scriptures teach us one star will fall, it will be wormwood, and when it falls into the water, it will make a third of the waters bitter, and many men will die because they've been made bitter. And what I believe is happening, saints, is that men will seek to find resource and recourse. And they will seek to find areas where they can hide from God. And what God is doing is pulling his judgment, because there'll be nowhere to hide. Now, the fourth trumpet will sound, and it will release an angel to destroy the third part of the sun, moon, and the stars. Let's look at verse number 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone for not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And so what will happen is when the trumpet is blown, the world will turn dark and will only have daylight for a third part of the day. And so a third of 24 hours is maybe about maybe eight. Do I have any mathematicians in here? I'm pretty close to that. So about 8 hours is what we'll have normal daylight. Now we have normal daylight for, you know, 12, 16, yeah, you know, depending upon where you are in the region. But this will affect the things as we know it, and then the earth will be darkened. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, and we'll see the fifth trumpet. And this gets into the workings of Armageddon and leading up to it. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun of the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. How many of y'all have experienced the power of scorpions? I've experienced that. I was in the desert and we used to get stung by those jokers. They hurt. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither either green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. Watch this. But that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now look at this. And in those days, the Bible say, men shall seek death and shall not find it, and desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And so we see this fifth angel releases what I like to call the powers of the forces of darkness and evil upon the earth. And these creatures have been given authority of God to hurt men 5 months. Not just men, but women as well. And these people that do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, the 144,000 that will still be on earth, they will be stung. It's just like y'all in the summertime, you know, how you get stung by mosquitoes and things of that nature, how that's a real natural thing. Well, it'll be the same thing during this time period. Only it'll be much more intensified with creatures of evil and horribility. Now look at this. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were like crowns of gold, and their faces were as of the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, and as it were breastplates of iron, the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And so the best way, church, that John could describe this, and I don't know if they'll be like that, but he said these locusts looked like horses. You've seen a big horse before. And now you're going to tell me a horse is going to fly with a face of a man and teeth of a lion and hair like a woman? And you've been given the ability to sting? See, you're not going to be able to hide. So I keep preaching and teaching that you got to get right with God. Because if you find yourself living in these times, it's going to be horrible. And I'm going to show you here. Now let's look at verse number 13 through 21. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men. I'm going to skip down. Verse 18, by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and their heads, and with them they do hurt. He emphasized that. And the rest of the men which were not killed by the plagues, look at this, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And so in closing, that the fifth trumpet will sound and release an angel to release an angel to destroy the third part of humanity. And we find that in all of these plagues, in all of these ways of God trying to get the nation to wake up, trying to get America to wake up, the Bible says these men still didn't repent. They still did not repent of their evil ways, because some people just do not believe. People ask me, they say, well, how do you teach to atheists? And I tell them very clearly, I said, you know, if you die believing that there wasn't a God and you were right, then you're okay. But if you die and you find out that there was a God, then it's too late. So I would rather live my life believing as if there wasn't was a God and be prepared if there wasn't, because when I die, then I'm okay. Because when I die, that's the end. But if I lived a lifestyle that's not reflective of these scriptures, that's not reflective of the things of God, if I didn't see the importance of coming to church, if I didn't see the importance from turning from my wicked ways, then inevitably my soul is doomed to hell. So I want to give an invitation tonight. Perhaps you're listening to this by audio. Perhaps you're sitting in here tonight and you don't know the Lord and Savior. You don't know God as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You know, it's easy to get saved. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that you shall be saved. It's just that all you got to do is ask God to come into your heart, believe that He has saved you, believe that He's been raised from the dead, and the Bible says you shall be saved. Doesn't say you might be, doesn't say it's a great possibility, doesn't say God will think about it, He say you will be saved. Get yourself in a good Bible teaching, Bible preaching church. Live according to these scriptures so that you can be ready to meet God when He comes. Somebody said, well, Pastor, what happens if I die before the second coming of the Lord? Well, that's okay. Because the Bible says, be not ignorant. Those that sleep in Jesus will rise again. And then the Bible teaches us, absent with the body, you're present with the Lord. So if you die before the second coming, you're still going to be with Jesus. So why are you sitting around here? I'm not talking to any of y'all. I'm just talking to somebody who may listen to this by tape. Sitting around here living your life like there's no God. Like there's no tomorrow. I tell people all the time, you mean tell me sex and clubbing and drinking is more important to you than a relationship with God? You would rather hang out in the club and drink and smoke and do all. Nothing is that good in this lifetime for me to miss heaven. I'm going to share one more thing with you, then we're going to go. Luke 16 says, well, Pastor, what happens if, what happens to me if I die and I don't know the Lord? What happens to me then? Well, Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man and there was Lazarus. And the Bible say how Lazarus wanted to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the Bible tells us right here, it say, and the rich man died and Lazarus died. And the Bible says, and it came to pass, verse 22, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Now look at this. The next verse say, and in hell. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. He dipped the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So what is he saying? He's saying, once you go to hell, there's no reprieve, there's no parole, there's no time served, and they let you out. For those of you that are Catholic and are listening, there is no purgatory where you go and you prepare yourself to meet God. I'm telling you, church, we need to live like there's no tomorrow when there is a tomorrow, and live our lives according to the scriptures. Father, we thank you tonight for your word and its power. We bless you tonight, God. And tonight again, we pray for that brother, that sister, that mother, that father that may not know you as their Lord and Savior. Tonight, even in my spirit, I sense that many of us have loved ones that still do not know the Lord, still have not turned from their wicked ways and have repented